Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome in Upstate. It is a Tuesday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. We're live on the ground at Smoke on the Water at Mark Childress to my left. Diesel back at the ESPN Upstate Studios. He'll take your phone calls. We've got a lot of different things to get into today, but, man, we hit ground. We hit rock bottom about 5 minutes ago.
Things have gotten strange.
Everything is on its way up from here. Okay, hell has officially frozen over here at Smoke on the Water, and Florida State Seminole comes to the rescue of a Clemson Tiger. And by that, I mean our daytime bartender, Stella, here, that played women's soccer at Clemson, just took a big old vitamin and was choking on it. And our manager, Brett, came up and. That was just kind of bizarre right before you get on the air, Mark. So here's the deal. Everything's just going to be better from this point moving forward.
Well, she is okay.
Yep.
The Heimlich was not performed. It was about to get to that point, I think, when everything kind of shook loose. But, yeah, set a very strange tone for the show today, Sturge. That's going down like 2 minutes before you get on the air.
And then this one from ABC33/40 News, Barrett Salee retweeted, that we both just had to stop and look at and go, you can't fix stupid. It is a man in a police photo with a gun tattooed on his forehead.
And not a little one either.
Yeah.
I mean, it's taken up half his forehead.
Yeah. And the tweet says, man with gun tattooed on forehead arrested for unlawful carrying of a firearm.
Oh, no.
I don't really want to click on this to find out if the police just arrested him for stupidity for having that or if actually carrying a real firearm. But, you know, what do you say to this guy if he comes walking in your establishment with an application filled out?
You don't.
You just.
You're done. You have chosen a way of life that you cannot get away from.
You just put it at the bottom of the list going, if this is your decision making, then I'm sorry, you can't work for me. So, so again, outside of that, that's kind of the tone for the day. All right.
Wow.
We're gonna have a little bit of
man,
fun.
Seriously, that was getting a little scary before we got going. So
right.
I'm glad Stella's okay.
So it's Big City Day here on the show. You ready for Big City Day?
What is that?
Capital City, I guess is what they called it in the Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh yeah. Okay.
We are going to Atlanta twice today.
Nice.
All right?
Good.
4:37. We're going to talk Falcons football and a little bit of ACC football with our buddy Wes Durham, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, man, I love him. I love Wes.
Also play-by-play with ACC football on Fox Sports South. And then at the top of the 5 p.m. hour, we're going to talk Braves baseball with Kent Covington of BravesWire.com. So it's Big City Day. Still waiting to hear back from one person that covers the Carolina Panthers for the Charlotte Observer. May have Jordan on in the 6 p.m. hour, but I can tell you this much. We've got no shortage of things to talk about, just college football related in that final hour. Is, you know, it's that time of the year. Have a little fun with it. You know, the World Cup's going on. I've got to give you some credit here when it comes to the World Cup that – number, I've paid more attention to
good.
It. You were right. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'll never do it again.
Hey, were you taping that, Diesel? Please,
let's
have that for a rollback later.
I have found the key to successful marriage with a husband is at one point they're so beaten and battered that they just say, I was wrong, you were right, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. Well, you were correct. I was a little bit fascinated earlier today when you see a couple of upsets.
They were a big upset with Japan over Colombia.
Yep.
Huge.
Japan wins 2-1 over Colombia. Remember, they were a member of the, was it semis or quarters in the last World World Cup.
I think they made it to the quarters last World Cup.
So they go down to the Colombians 2-1. So watch out. That means somebody on that team probably not living more than about 2 months, as you know what I'm referring to in that end. And I'm guessing Senegal with a 2-1 win over Poland, that's an upset
it
as
is.
Well.
Another big one. I mean, both of those aren't monumental. They aren't Mexico over Germany level upsets, but that whole group is upside down now, so it'll be interesting to see how all that plays out.
All right, so Russia and Egypt. Russia's going to advance. They're going to have two wins and, 6 points after this final game.
I think that locks them in. I think that makes them official into the round of 16, so good for them.
Do you think people weren't falling on the sword for the Russians? Nobody wants to go get in front of Vladimir Putin and have to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So you're saying Russia's going to win, so – everyone's going to clear out of Russia's way for the rest of the World Cup.
At least to the groups, at least to the Elite Eight stage, to the quarterfinal round.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So one more win.
Yeah,
okay.
One more win. Get them through the round of 16. If they make it to the quarters, then guess what? I think, if they win, then I want every single one of those suckers drug tested again. You know what I mean? So anyway.
Then you said some breaking news with Neymar, right, that he was injured in practice today. That is a very big story for Brazil.
Yep. He literally limped out of the Brazil camp today with a right foot injury. And listen, you were saying this is like Tom Brady coming up sore before, in a run to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
With a sore right shoulder.
So one of the three or four best players in the world right there.
Now, we also mentioned the guy with the tattoo gun tattooed on his forehead earlier. It's not quite as bad, but Neymar's got to have some of the worst hair I've ever seen on the face of this earth.
Yeah, it's like he does it on purpose. I don't know what the decision making is behind that haircut, but it's not a good one.
All right, so let's go ahead and finish out our World Cup talk here before we move on, since sometimes you just have to pivot and move because, again, Wes Durham, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, coming up at 4:37, top of the 5 p.m. hour, Kent Covington with BravesWire.com. But these are the stories I love. You know, we got to work harder at this time of the year to come up with things like you were saying, earlier today. God, it's shrinking in what we can talk about right now,
know.
Well, thank goodness for the World Cup because these are the stories I love. The only thing that I can compare Southern college football fans to are the fans of the World Cup countries competing.
That's fair. Yeah, that's a fair comparison.
All right, it's not always the best thing when, fans of rival Southern schools get together, for the big game, a lot of drinking involved,
yep.
I'm better than you, and it gets worse and everything else. The only place that I haven't seen that go on between major rivals was at the Army-Navy game, all right? But then again, I'm not sitting out in the snow, but you just don't think that everybody doesn't want to be that guy,
right.
I mean? Check this one out earlier. This is what you love about sport. Egypt's game against Uruguay the other day. This was on Friday. Since then, one particular photo has gone viral all over this world. And it was a group of Mexico and Colombia soccer fans there in Russia that pulled this off for this photo to go viral. In the stadium watching on Friday in that Egypt-Uruguay match was a Egypt fan in a wheelchair, all right?
Okay.
Not always the best, due to high, if people are standing up and everything, not necessarily the best thing to be in a stadium in is a wheelchair.
I'm going to guess the handicap access in Russia is a little different than it is in the U.S.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take a bold guess.
Maybe, or the fact that it could have been filled, or he wanted to go get in the crowd. Who knows?
Yes.
So let's not blame that one on Putin just yet, but that's likely the case.
Everything else, but not that.
So a group of Mexico and Colombia fans see this Egypt fan struggling, and they all get together and pick him up in that wheelchair and lift him up so he could watch the match in the fan zone.
That's awesome. That is awesome. I love that.
That is just coming together, and that's what this stuff is about. And Egypt was playing in their first World Cup match since 1990, so that's well over a quarter of a century. Even a 1-0 loss for the Egyptians does not take away. That's what sportsmanship. That's what's awesome about sport when it's right. people coming together for something like
that. See, you're warming up to the World Cup. So everybody's played now. Everybody's got that first game in. They've started the second games in the pool play. With Russia's win today, they're in. I mean, they've got 6 points. So there is, I don't think, a mathematical way at this point that they could not advance to the round of 16. So Russia's going to be the first ones to go through, and you can keep your eyes on the teams that have already won. Portugal and Spain will be playing tomorrow. They've got 1 point each. Iran's got 3 points. All kinds of good stuff coming, man.
Well,
glad you're watching.
A little bit. Like I said, number two, it's on there when I'm at physical therapy,
yeah.
So that gives me something to kind of key in on as well. So, listen, right now I'd say some of the most nervous are probably the Germans after that 1-0 loss to Mexico. And Argentina's okay. You know, they got a tie, but still, Lionel Messi, you know, missing a penalty kick, which I actually saw this note on Twitter, whether it be for his country or his club team, and that's Real Madrid, right, or is he – Barcelona, whichever one in Spain. He has missed 5 of his last 10 penalty kicks.
Wow, really?
Yep.
And Messi doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes, so that's that was a big miss for them, but I think they'll be fine, and I think Germany will find a way too. All you got to do is advance, right?
Yep.
Germany wins their next two games or even goes win and a tie, then they've got a great chance to move on.
All right, so here's the deal. Like I said, we're going to be a little bit all over the place today. We'll talk Major League Baseball, as there's a particular team south of us that has the best record.
Sure does.
We'll get into that. We've got a little bit of NFL news. Of course, it's Big City Day with Wes Durham, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, as well as Kent Covington from BravesWire.com, and then a lot of different things to get into in the final hour when it comes to college football. But when we come back, 32 years ago today might be one of those days that you think, where were you standing or where you found out the information? And then also one little last look back at Sturgis's final thought from the U.S. Open. And I will put it up to you and Diesel, and even me, if I would do the same thing.
Okay.
And then we'll get into Western with the Falcons at 437. But it's open phones in the next segment. 844-GSP-ESPN. Thirty-two years ago today, you know, we have those stopgap moments in life where you remember, if you're old enough, where you were when Reagan was shot in, 1980?
Yep.
Or, you know, where you were on 9/11, you know, as America was attacked. And, things of that nature. Some people would maybe even stop and say it could be big enough in the entertainment field with people like Prince passing or Michael Jackson or things of that nature. But I definitely remember 32 years ago today, and I still have the Sports Illustrated Death of a Dream is 32 years ago today. Lynn Bias passed away.
Wow. I don't remember the exact moment, but I remember I was a Celtics fan back then. You either like the Celtics or the Lakers back in the 80s, and I was definitely a Celtics fan and was very disappointed and saddened to hear of his passing. Man, what an athlete he was.
Yeah,
good grief.
University of Maryland star from right up there in that area. And, of course, you know, I remember him coming into Little John with Lefty Driesell's team as a freshman when his body was a little bit more than his skill set. You know, his coordination hadn't quite caught up to his body. And then you think of where he was by his junior year when he led Maryland with like 35 points in the Dean Dome in what was North Carolina's first ever loss after moving to the Dean Dome from Carmichael Auditorium. And I'm telling you, that is one question that I will go to bed and dream of and debate that I'm not 100% positive. Had he lived, that we wouldn't be discussing him as the greatest with Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You know what I mean? But, of course, it would have been a little different team playing with Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and all those other all-stars.
Yeah, a transcendent talent. I mean, you could see that there was so much upside and huge loss. 32 years, man, we're getting old, Sturge. Seems like yesterday.
Yep. So, again, you know, just one of those things. And like I said, it's still one of the few I would never let it go, that Sports Illustrated death of a dream, you know, Lynn Bias and the years that he lived. All right. Guys, I got one final thought, you know, when it comes to the U.S. Open, because I thought about Diesel. You know, you're getting back into the golf game, you know.
But yes.
Diesel's actually been a CrossFit athlete, competed in CrossFit games and things of that nature. So at my 50 years old, and I guess I'm speaking a little bit for you, we're going to treat Diesel as the professional athlete here on our staff. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
You rolled
your eyes. I thought about it. No, I didn't roll my eyes. I thought about it. I'm like, I could argue that maybe it could still be me, but I'm giving that up. It's Diesel.
You just had a Phil Mickelson moment there.
Yes.
Where your eyes just rolled up in the back of your head.
I was like,
hit the ball before.
Is that really what we're doing? Diesel?
So
yes,
Diesel,
I'll give it to him. He is a good athlete.
We call you Sports Talk's most decent producer, but will you also accept the role of a professional athlete here on our staff as well?
I guess I'll take it.
All right.
Well, you better. I'm taking it if you don't.
Saturday afternoon, I looked at somebody and went, what are you thinking? Or what are you doing? And then I started thinking about it. At our age, maybe I would do the same thing. But if you remember, Jim Furyk got some FaceTime when it came to number 17 and 18 on Saturday, because he was holing out for plus six, which obviously was going to keep him in contention when it came to this U.S. Open. And you're talking about a guy that's working toward 50 years old in the senior tour that actually does have a U.S. Open title. He won at Olympia Fields outside Chicago back in the day. But I looked at Jim Furyk and I went, Jim, really? What is overkill? Because he got lumped into John Daly territory with me. And it's not because he has weird swing. You know, Daly's
yes.
is overdone.
Yep.
Jim Furyk, how many more sponsors could you fit on your black golf shirt on Saturday? And we're not talking, you know, listen, if I'm 23, I put Top Flight on this sleeve, put you know, anything
yeah.
I could possibly get. But, you know, we're talking, I'm guessing Jim Furyk's worth several million multiple times over.
Yeah, I'm going to guess he's made at least $50 million on tour
over the years. Here was Jim Furyk's shirt. Now, again, Diesel, I want you to picture this with your CrossFit games on. He had a different advertiser on both sleeves. One was web.com. The other was Callaway. All right. He had another sponsor going across the nape of the neck. And it was web.com and Ace Hardware.
Okay.
When it came to the sleeves, across the nape of the neck, he had Callaway, I believe it was. On the collar, he had MasterCard, and then he also had RBC Royal Bank on his shirt as well. So that was five different logo sponsors on Jim Furyk's golf shirt. That didn't mention the different hat that he had on as well.
Wow. This is something I haven't really thought about. So I know they usually have one, or a lot of times they might have one in two places. I haven't seen five or six like you're talking about.
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was like, holy cow. I mean, it was John Daly was kind of doing the same thing after he had bounced off the tour for a little bit, which included the crazy pants and the line of pants. But this is the first time. Don't turn away free money, you know. I'd come in here with all kind of stuff sewn on my golf shirt right now if I could get paid for it. I get it. But I also don't have a bank account that has seven or eight zeros on the back end of it. And you like the fact that there's a guy that is a walking billboard? Because I am a golf fanatic. I watched growing up. It didn't matter if it was the Greater Memphis Open or the Greater Greensboro Open. I was watching it on Sunday. I literally stopped and giggled when I saw Jim Furyk's golf shirt.
Oh, my gosh. Go get yours if you can get it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's got a really good agent. I can't imagine it's Jim himself, you know, trying to run everybody down and see if they can find out all the answers and get every single thing that they need and do it that way. But I say, Jim Furyk, go get yours, my friend. Keep adding them. I think you could make it so big. I mean, why not just go even further with it? There's got to be some kind of rules on the PGA Tour, and I guess now I'm sitting here mentally going through all the golfers that I was watching this weekend and trying to think if I saw multiple logos And a lot of times I didn't even see that. You would just see one that might be on the shirt and the sleeve. But, man, I haven't seen that many. That's
it's
crazy.
Awesome. I'll see you during the break if I can't get a picture and put it
yeah,
up
find that.
On social media. But, Diesel, as you're our professional athlete, I bet if anybody would pay you a free meal, you would wear that logo on your shirt to compete in, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I've tried to do that before.
Ah, okay. But, I don't. You know, again, I don't want
to. You tried to do it before when you were competing in CrossFit?
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
Very cool. So, I mean, listen, I get it. Now you see boxers. You know, and you go, please tell me that's not a tattoo on their back of the casino.
No, melt away
exactly.
During the game. During
Poker.com
or something like that. Exactly. Win at poker.com.
I mean, at what point does the PGA Tour go, you know, screw this. We're missing out on so much money. Where in the middle of the fairway, they just put a sponsor's logo down. I mean, listen, you can paint an end zone whatever color you want to in college or the
That's
NFL.
That's actually a really good idea, Sturge.
Which includes, I guess, Michigan. Oh, my God, are they committing a faux pas this year? They have painted their end zones blue for, like, the first time ever.
Yeah. You could name the bunkers and things like that. Yeah. You know, oh, he's gone into the MasterCard bunker just short of the green. You could really take this to an infinite level. Now, the PGA Tour is not hurting for money. So maybe one day if they are, after Tiger's long gone, maybe they'll do something like that. I actually like the idea of kind of painting stuff out on the fairways, though.
You know, and if you hit it, you know, somebody in the gallery gets a free, you know, yeah. Land right in the middle of the MasterCard
yeah,
logo. Some dude in the gallery's getting a $100 debit card from MasterCard. You know,
yes,
something
I like that.
Those lights.
This is good.
Golly, who's the commissioner on tour right now? I remember it was, Tim Finchin and Dean Bean. We may need to make this proposal.
I was just saying for, like, all these charity golf tournaments that go on all summer, why not do something like that? Yeah. You can get a sponsor and put a little bullseye out there. Something to think about.
One thing I will, I hope we don't get to this point when it comes to the NFL. The Canadian football teams have multiple sponsors on their jerseys, and that gets a little...
it's a matter of time. I mean, the NBA had the logos added this year. They had the one logo. It was right there on, I believe, the left side of the chest of the jersey, and it wasn't super intrusive. But all the NBA teams had it this year, Sturge. It's a matter of time before it just starts moving over into the other sports.
All right. Well, listen, we got some news coming out of Atlanta when it comes to the Falcons. You know, the Orlando Ledbetter's article earlier today stated that the Falcons are very uncomfortable with Julio Jones and the amount of time he's spending with T.O. And, by the way, did I see on Twitter last night he ran like a 4.4?
Allegedly ran a 4.440. There is video, but, you know, was it 40 yards or was it 34 yards? I mean,
it's not official.
Right. There's not like a piece of tape and a timer and anything official. It's a couple dudes sitting there with a stopwatch, but he looked quick. He's in great shape. He's in such great shape.
Well, we're going to go down to the big city. It's our buddy Wes Durham. He is the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. He's also play-by-play with Fox Sports South and the ACC as well. And, of course, we'll talk to him about the Atlanta Falcons and a little bit of ACC news as well as the Coastal Division. We were worried about one of the teams at quarterback. We got some news from Virginia Tech as well to give you with Wes Durham coming up next. And then, of course, after that, we're going to get into NFL. We're going to get into the NBA. And we've got to give you a College World Series update. Listen, somebody went off earlier today tying a Omaha record when it comes to RBIs in a game. So all that coming ahead. But next is going to be Wes Durham, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons, and, of course, play-by-play. And, of course, you know, people forget, also the son of Woody Durham, the legendary University of North Carolina broadcaster as well. And then we'll have open phones for one segment, and then we'll talk Braves baseball at the top of the hour. Is some little team that nobody thought, listen, they may have the best record when it comes not only to their own division, but something else as well. So, again, Wes Durham, voice of the Atlanta Falcons, when we come back as we're live at Smoke on the Water in downtown Greenville. All right, welcome back in. And if you want to witness what I was describing when it comes to Jim Furyk, you can now go to our ESPN Upstate Facebook page because you saw it there. This is as close as we can get because Wes Durham is will be with him in 2 minutes. If you click on this picture, you can see Ace Hardware logo on yep. one sleeve, RBC Ventura on one breast. The other breast has the web.com logo. The other sleeve has, it looks like Columbia or something on it. I don't okay. know. And then the Callaway golf hat. So right there, you can see five different logos, but you can't see the one across the back of the neck. So that would make number six. So like I said, we are he's literally rocking in this picture five different logos.
So does he have to do one question facing the back so that you get the logo on? Is well, that like is it, he contractually obligated?
At least the World Cup gets it right, and they got a piece of plexiglass behind every interview that has oh, every yeah. logo like multiple times.
Yes,
would it go? But like I said, I'd grab every dollar I could get away with at this age and just put it in a college fund or whatever else I could, or a retirement fund, or. But
it's free just, money, but like you said, you are taking it a little bit too far in this instance, and I see why that stuck out to you for sure.
I was like, what's next? The thighs of the pants? Because you see coaches
you
wear
could.
Pants with tiger paws and whatnot yeah. on them back in the day. So, at some point, the business manager has to stop you and go, enough is enough.
It'll be coming in the NFL at some point. Again, we saw it on the NBA jerseys this year. I just think it's a matter of time, Sturge. There's so much money there.
But,
and those NBA teams were selling it for a couple of million dollars a year for somebody to put a logo on a jersey. It's free money, like you said earlier.
But doesn't it have to come through the league itself and not through individual teams? Because I'd make the argument that the Dallas Cowboys can go get a crap load more for a logo on their uniform than the Buffalo Bills can.
Well, I'm sure the league gets some kind of cut. I don't know how to do it, but I think each team could negotiate on its own. I think that's what they did in the NBA. Because the Warriors' value is going to be a lot more than the Hawks' value.
See, that's what I'm saying. I'd rather it be done through the league. And, this is like what the ACC does with sharing bowl revenue. You know what I mean? And that way you can kind of temper this thing. Otherwise, it's just going to be that bigger of a gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah. I guess I could see that angle on it as
well. That's where we're moving when it comes to athletics. In the first place.
And in college. I mean, isn't it a matter of time in college before you end up with logos or Dabo's wearing a, smoke on the water hat for his post-game interview or something like that? It's untapped revenue, and they're just going to keep growing.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens.
Well, here's what you're going to see first. Beer sales coming to college stadiums in the South, and I'm not really looking forward to that one. But let's head down to I-85. It's our good friend Wes Durham, the voice of the Atlanta Falcons. Also, you'll be watching him this fall with ACC play-by-play with Fox Sports South. Wes, we were just talking about Jim Furyk rocking six different logos this past weekend on his golf shirt in the U.S. Open. How many will you have on your when you're broadcasting Atlanta Falcons games this fall?
One, maybe.
Sorry, Diesel.
depends on the shirt I'm wearing, Sturge.
Yeah, well, listen, I'd do it, and I'd be putting it in a college fund or something like that, but it did. It almost looked like too much is too much when it comes to Jim Furyk. But, listen, I know you're enjoying a little bit of time because you're just a month from, the Falcons reporting to training camp as well as ACC football media days. And, listen, right now one of the biggest stories in the NFL is between Julio Jones and the Falcons. And, Orlando Ledbetter had an article today saying that, Falcons management not real crazy about him hanging out with Terrell Owens. When does this become a problem heading into training camp?
Oh, I don't know, Mark. I think that there's a lot of things that come into play here. I think, first of all, this is the first real piece of, resistance, I guess, between Julio Jones and the Falcon fan base, if you will. He's been here 7 years, and he's been obviously an elite receiver in the league, but now all of a sudden you're talking about a guy that's got 3 years left on his deal, unfortunately did not have a great 2017, was one of the league leaders in drops. Two most notable ones, obviously the one he had against the Panthers in Charlotte on what would have been a touchdown and the one at the end of the divisional playoff game in Philadelphia that essentially ended the season. So that all being said, he also only had 3 touchdowns last year. So, you know, this is the first time really since Julio's been a Falcon that we have this issue now about he doesn't want to be at minicamp. Apparently, now let me also preface by saying this: what D-Led writes in the paper or says on radio in Charlotte, mm-hmm. you know, you got to take that for that's a perspective that he has from talking maybe to Jimmy Sexton or talking to Julio's people, and then you know his inside sources with the organization. I don't know how strong those are, but all that being said, I think that Julio will get something done. But the issue, Mark, that the Falcons are facing here is a little complex because Julio Jones has been outlined as the 7th highest paid wide receiver in the league, who signed a deal 2 years ago to make him the number 1 receiver in the league. 3 years left on the deal. But in those 3 years, Atlanta also has to think about how they're going to sign some of the young defensive stars they've had. And truth be told, last year was the first time in Matt Ryan the Falcons have had a top 10 defense. So you got to be careful here. I understand he wants to get paid. I also understand he has 3 years left on the contract. All those things come into play. My guess is he'll be at camp. My guess is he'll get a little more money. But if you're talking about a contract being torn up and redone, I don't see that happening, given kind of where the climate is with the Falcons and the salary cap.
Hey, Wes, Mark Childress here. Does the contract that Matt Ryan just signed, does that have an impact on Julio? I mean, Matt got big-time money, obviously, I think highest-paid player in the NFL still as it stands today. Does that have an impact on Julio's decision-making right now, do you think?
I don't know, Mark. That's a good question. I would tell you that I think the Mike Evans deal in Tampa has more impact on Julio mm-hmm. Jones. That and the fact that I'm not telling him how to pick his friends, but he's running around with a guy who once did sit-ups in his driveway rather than go to training camp. Okay? Right. I mean, his social media now features Terrell Owens as much as it features anything else. And I'm not telling him how to pick his friends. Nobody should tell these guys how to pick their friends. They ought to be able to make their own decisions. But if there's an influence from that guy, then this is a whole different dynamic, in my opinion.
I'm with you as we continue with Wes Durham, voice of the Atlanta Falcons, also play-by-play with the ACC as well. And, you know, Wes, one last question, because this much we know when it comes to the NFC South, whoever survives and win that division – they're going to have earned it. So you're going to need everybody dialed in, because just look at the success of the Falcons, the Panthers, and the Saints, and who knows what's going to happen in Tampa Bay this fall as well.
Sturge, I think it's still the best division in the NFL. I don't think there's any question. I mean, I've done a couple different shows here in the offseason around minicamps and things like that, and I'm finding it hard to find 3 teams in a division that everybody can buy into. You mentioned Falcons, Panthers, Saints. That's a great place to start. You know, New Orleans has done some things, obviously, to help themselves. I think Kamara is one of the great young stars in the league. And you're right about Tampa. I mean, 1 year Tampa, it's going to click. And when it does, it's going to be exciting for those guys. But I think this division will be an absolute battle. And, you know, one of the more interesting scheduling quirks is that the Falcons and Panthers play in week 2 and then don't play again until, I think, week 15. Or somewhere along in there. So there's going to be a long time between Falcon and Panther games, and that can be a very interesting situation in the NFL, because a lot of things can happen, good and bad, for teams in those time frames. But yet the NFL has found they've found the real chemistry with the backloaded division games. You know, I mean, we get down to the last 3 to 4 weeks. There's no hanging around usually. And with the NFC South, I mean, we've gone to the wire with this deal now for 3 straight years to determine the team that's going to represent the division or the teams that could potentially be in the playoffs. And I think we're probably headed that way again.
Hey, Wes, I'm sure you're as excited about the college football season coming up as we are. What are your thoughts on the ACC Coastal? We keep on landing on conversation pieces over there. Is it Miami that's the best team? Is this the year that Paul Johnson rises up like he does every 4 or 5 years and shocks everybody and wins the division? I'm curious what your thoughts are on it.
Well, I think the Coastal is going to be chaos again. I mean, obviously Miami brings a lot of that personnel back from the team that they got mashed by Clemson in the title game last year in Charlotte. I'm excited to kind of see how it plays out, to be honest with you. I think it'll be very interesting to see just how Miami handles all this. I mean, Malik Rozier was okay. But, guys, you can't get around the fact that they lost to Pittsburgh at the end. I mean, it's one of those things that you just keep coming back to the more you think about where Miami is. So I think it's going to be interesting, to be honest with you, Mark. I think the one thing, too, about, you know, Georgia Tech or Virginia Tech or, you know, Duke has a pretty good team and a fairly – and I'm not trying to diminish anybody's schedule, but their schedule is not nearly as taxing as, say, Georgia Tech, who's got to go to Louisville and, you know, to Virginia Tech and Clemson, and then all of a sudden they play Georgia at the end. I mean, Georgia Tech's road's a little more – got a few more bumps in it, but I think any of those teams are capable. I think that, you know, at some point Carolina's going to get it back together. They can't be as injured as they were last year. There's no possible way they can sustain that many injuries, and if they can get the quarterback situation solved and get better defensively, they might be a factor. But remember, they open at Cal and then play East Carolina. And we all know what happens in the state of North Carolina when East Carolina plays anybody from the ACC. It's their Super Bowl, and they're playing the game in Greenville. So North Carolina has to be careful about the way they start. And then, you know, the Atlantic side I think is going to be fascinating because Clemson is one of the three elite teams in college football, in my opinion. They can win this thing, the whole thing, any year now in the next five or six just by the way they've built their program. And I think it's going to be interesting to see who falls in behind them because – I think Boston College has a chance to be a real dark horse, guys. I mean, you're talking about maybe the best running back in the ACC and one of the most devastating running backs in the country, and they still bring back a couple guys from that defense. I mean, Wyatt Ray and Zach Allen are good players on that defensive front. Lucas Dennis led the country in interceptions. And you talk about a team that might be able to create some early momentum. BC's the one. But you bring up an interesting point about Virginia Tech, too, on the Coastal. Now that Josh Jackson is with the team, as announced this morning, or not announced officially, but being reported, if they can figure out who's going to play linebacker, the Hokies might be an interesting team too.
All right, Wes, listen, I got to be honest. I thought about you Saturday. You know, we mentioned Woody and just, you know, Father's Day and everything else. Thanks for the positive messages with me and coming back from this surgery. And real quickly, you got a golf trip before you get to ACC football kickoff?
No, I've already been. I went the third week in March to Pebble Beach, Sturge. I went to I went to Pebble in Spanish Bay back when the wind was howling pretty good, and tried to play Pebble in Spanish Bay in the wind. So that was like going to Europe again. But I'm putting it in the ground as much as possible. I'll promise you that. By the time you see me in Charlotte, hopefully I'll have it in pretty decent rhythm. I've had it going a little bit, but I've got a few things going on. Doing this SiriusXM ACC morning show with Mark Packer that we started in March and things like that. So I'm not banging it as regular as I like to, but hopefully I'll get a few more reps in before I got to go back to work full time.
Well, listen, I know we'll see you next month when you're in Greenville. We got to get you hooked up here at Smoke on the Water. Thanks, Wes. We really appreciate everything you do.
Anytime, Sturge. Good to be with you guys. Great to have you back on the air, and we'll see you in Charlotte, okay?
All right, there's the great Wes Durham. And, of course, just go follow him on Twitter, at Wes Durham, voice of the Atlanta Falcons. And in many ways, voice of the ACC, doing Fox Sports South. And you mentioned, you know, Mark Packer in the morning. But also, you know, so many years as voice of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. So a family that is as dialed in when it comes to ACC sports as anyone else. All right, here's the deal. When we come back, we'll give you an update from the College World Series in Omaha. Remember, we're pivoting to Braves baseball at the top of the hour. And, of course, you know, some information to go over with Kent Covington from BravesWire.com. Man, it's a busy day out in Omaha, Mark Childress. They've already got one game in. Of course, Mother Nature's been a consistent problem out there at TD Ameritrade Park. But the lone ACC team got stomped earlier today. Mississippi State. Boy, are they on a roll, and is momentum everything? Mississippi State with a 12-2 win over the Tar Heels earlier today. And think about this game Jordan Westberg had for Mississippi State. A grand slam and seven RBIs total, which actually ties, I believe, the College World Series single
game
record.
What a day
for RBIs in a game. And listen, you know, TD Ameritrade, it's not Rosenblatt from a few years ago where they would hit it over the outfield stands. You really got to get hold of one at TD Ameritrade. He bombed that thing out there. He got all of it. So, yeah, again, I guess they're not – don't break the momentum. There's something to do with Mississippi baseball and Mississippi State baseball and a banana, and I'm not real sure where to go with that. I need to look it up.
Okay, yeah.
Especially if a sports fan, especially if a sports fan really knows what I'm talking about when it comes to what happened at UNC Wilmington with their pitching coach last week.
Yeah, we're
steering
clear
of that.
That's
not why we're touching that with a 10-foot pole. But
yes,
the interim head coach that took over for Mississippi State after four games this season has to be their next head coach. I mean, this is they get 2 days off, and here's what happens. You've got tomorrow North Carolina and Oregon State playing an elimination game. The winner moves on, and they'd have to beat Mississippi State in two consecutive games to move on to the winner's bracket. Now, you've got Texas and Florida going right now. It's the top of the fifth inning. Florida has a 1-0 lead on Texas. This is an elimination game. In the winner's bracket on this side tonight, you've got Arkansas and Texas Tech.
Good grief. A lot of Southern schools left. They're representing well. Man, Mississippi State's in business, and the winner of that game tonight's in business. That really puts you in a power position to make that final best two out of three series. So some good stuff there.
Yep. So, please, Florida, win this game so I don't have to hear any more from Clemens, the second baseman for Texas.
Yeah.
He's literally become one of my least favorite players in all of college baseball. So speaking of baseball, when we come back, we will head back down I-85. Like I said, big city day here on Straight Up with Sturge as we're going to talk Braves baseball. Kent Covington from BravesWire.com. Then after that, guess what? It's open phones. We've got some different things to get into. Remember, the NBA draft is Thursday night. I can go ahead and tell you at 5:37 tomorrow, we will talk with our kind of our NBA expert, Dan Favalli from the Bleacher Report, who covers the NBA, because I don't get this one. I mean, I don't even know how much of this I'll watch on Thursday, because you can call me Fuddy or Duddy. I don't get the NBA draft because they're basing on what somebody may do 3 years from now as much as next year.
Well, I think Dante Grantham has a chance to get drafted in the second round, and if planets align, Gabe DeVoe could go in the second round as well, so I'm definitely interested in seeing that. I'm a sucker for the NBA draft. I love to see where these teams get going. I think there's going to be a lot of movement with picks and trades this year. You've got the LeBron and Kawhi situations hanging out there as well, and you can see teams making some power moves to position better for them. So
well,
I think it'll be good stuff.
After we talk with Kent Covington from BravesWire.com, maybe I'll have my get-off-my-lawn moment when it comes to Thursday night's NBA draft. It will be right back here to Smoke on the Water.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.